Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, joining you this Friday. It's a pleasure to join you again. Hope that you've had a great week. It has been just an action-packed week, ending with the day that, you know, may be remembered as the day of clarity on several fronts. Obviously, outside of sports, things are becoming more clear in terms of the future leadership of our nation, and also in terms of the reason why we do this podcast. We had now, over the past 12 hours, have received some clarity in terms of the near and long-term direction of the NBA and, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies, and that will be our focus in this first segment. Again, hope you are well. Again, you can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your phone. You can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. And so we're going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the news that came through last night. I talked about it, you know, in our show earlier this week, in which, you know, at the end of the week, we would get some news really putting in place, you know, setting the stage for how the beginning of the season would start. And so I'm going to break that down, talk about what all it means, talk about how it pertains to the Grizzlies in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to get back to our prospect profiles, really looking at another guard who may make some sense for Memphis, perhaps not so much at the 40th pick, but if you started to talk, you've started to see some of these general managers talk a bit more, you've heard a common theme that several general managers may like to buy back into the second round. We're going to talk about guard Sam Merrill, a name, you know, that for Memphis could be there at 40 that could make some sense, but especially could be a really, really intriguing prospect to buy back into the second round to get. My name Sean Coleman. As always, a pleasure to join you. The one thing that I love about doing this podcast is that anytime news breaks or anytime there is something relevant to the Grizzlies, I get to take a time out of my day to not only talk about something that I'm passionate about, but something that I enjoy knowing a bit about, as well as sharing with you my thoughts and opinions on it. And that's why I love this and cherish every moment that I get to do this with you. So thank you so much for joining. You know, I've been covering the Grizzlies for a little over 2 years. I've been doing podcasts now for about 18 months. And if you want honesty, if you want perspectives, if you want in-depth analysis, and you want opinions that I feel are pretty solid when it comes to basing them in reality and logic, I'm the man for you, because we offer a daily perspective on the Grizzlies, and really look forward to any time we get to share our thoughts and feelings with you about what happens around the NBA and with Memphis. So let's get right to it. Last night, Shams and Woj both, you know, contributed their parts to the news that the NBA season had been, you know, tentatively agreed upon, in which the season would start December 22nd. We would get the Christmas start that many for years have felt made more sense than around the Halloween start, but it would be a shortened 72-game season that would start on December 22nd. A couple of goals in mind with the players agreed to this as well is that it seems as if, while, you know, I have been on record for saying I thought that more around Martin Luther King Day would make more sense, it seems as if the NBA has kind of gotten more information about the availability of allowing fans into the stands. There are going to be some very, very structured plans to allow fans into games. But in general, while the NBA would have loved to likely had fans in place right from the get-go, it seems as if that's just not going to be a possibility from the get-go. So their thought was get the season started as soon as possible, get money flow going as soon as possible, and then work fans back into the equation, you know, as opportunities become available, whether that's a vaccine, more knowledge of what's going on and so forth. But at the end of the day, looking at December 22nd as a start, we're also looking at a 72-game season. Obviously, that is good news for us as fans, because it's the sport that we all love. We're not going to sit here and have to wait an unprecedented amount of time this offseason for the season to get going. We now are less than 2 months, basically 6 weeks away from the start of the season. And even more of an impact and more exciting is the fact that there's a lot that has to be taken care of this month, because if the season started on December 22nd, it seems as if the NBA and the Players Union both want for the training camps to also start on December 1st, giving teams 3 weeks to really get back in the mode of playing, get back into the grind of things, get back into the mindset of going through a season, because they're wanting to start it around Christmas so that hopefully the playoffs and the finals will be done to obviously give to try to make things as normal as possible when it comes to the draft and free agency as it would be any other year, plus also allow for players that want to be involved in next year's Olympics to have the time to be able to focus on that as well. So the NBA just felt, while it was an accelerated process, they felt at the end of the day, several things could easily fall into place that could allow for them, by starting this one season later than expected, they likely could get back on track with the regular schedule of how things normally would be going forward, you know, after this next season. So again, 72 games from December 22nd through likely the end of June, and then hopefully a normal NBA offseason, as much as it can be, would occur after that. But what does that mean for now? Well, the draft is still November 18th. However, it's likely that, you know, while we typically would have a week or so after that to get really started up or get prepared for free agency, it's very likely that if that's going to happen on November 18th, which would be, you know, 2 weeks from this past Wednesday, you're looking at free agency perhaps starting, you know, 2 weeks from today or tomorrow, which would be around November 20th or 21st, giving, you know, the league a week before Thanksgiving to really get their free agency plans in place. So everything kind of jumbled up right there. Of course, the other thing is that you've got the trade. Basically, the league right now has prevented trades from occurring. That limiting factor should be lifted before the draft. So you're not only going to see the draft and free agency right there at one point, you're also going to see trades. Now, as we've talked about, more certainty should continue to come as the NBA and the players union decide about the cap and, you know, the other things such as that in terms of money, and teams become more aware of just how much money they're going to have to work with as far as their budgets go, and what hopefully the short end, and get an idea of what the short and long term impact from this season could be going forward. So again, you still may see a cap on the number of moves that are made, especially the earnings of these players. But what we may lack in total volume of moves, we may gain in such a short period of them happening, the frequency of them happening may seem like it's like any other normal year. And I imagine that you're going to see quite a few moves made still, because there are some intriguing names out there. Now, of course, for the Grizzlies, what does that mean? Well, that means that decisions are going to quickly be made, especially with De'Anthony Melton, as it's understood when free agency is going to start, his restricted free agency. That's when talks will occur. I'm sure that the Grizzlies have an idea of what they're wanting to spend on him. Other teams likely will, in a short time frame, have the time to prioritize him. I do think that with what's going on with COVID, and also with the fact that everything's kind of jumbled together, I think that does make it more likely. I think you're going to see more teams kind of come back as they ended last year than you're going to see monumental changes. I do think that with all this occurring for De'Anthony Melton and the Grizzlies, I think there's a good chance that means he is back. This also means that the Grizzlies, if there's any type of trades that they're potentially looking at with Kyle Anderson, with Gorgui Dieng, with maybe a member of their backcourt, that could be something that we could see before the draft occur. Perhaps the Grizzlies want to try to get another second round pick in this draft. Perhaps they want to trade, you know, future picks, or perhaps they find a player that they want to include, you know, as a reserve for now that could develop into more. All those things could happen, you know, within the next 10 to 14 days. So the big thing to take away from all of this is that not only is the start of the season now much more in the clear, it's much clearer when it's going to start, and it's happening much sooner than most may have anticipated. All the normal activity that you would see in an NBA offseason, while it's probably not going to be as much in terms of total number, it's going to be in a much shorter time frame, which should allow for plenty of excitement. And we're going to have you covered here. We've talked a lot about the draft. We're going to shift our focus a bit now with all that's going on in a quick time frame. We're going to focus on free agents. Perhaps some trades are out there. We'll have some guests on who will take time to talk with us about what the Grizzlies could do and about what we could see around the NBA as well. So a lot of excitement. That's the great thing about this. Yeah, it may make sense to have started the season a little bit later, but under these circumstances, there's a lot of positives that are going on. And in general, it's just exciting to have the NBA back and to have a clear timeline of when things should occur. So not only will the lead up to the season be exciting, but we also only have to wait 3 weeks now instead of 2 months after the draft and free agency excitement. Now it's just 3 weeks, and then we'll be right back to the start of the NBA season around Christmas timeframe. So a lot of good news, a lot of exciting news, and a lot of beneficial news to those of us who are fans. I can tell you another bit of beneficial news, and that is I have a way that I truly feel you could add to your day when it comes to health, and that's Built Bar. Listen, we're all looking for small things that we could do to improve our health. things that we could fit into our routine without inconvenience. And Built Bar is exactly that. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You could have it in the morning for breakfast, before or after a workout, maybe in the afternoon listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network. And the great thing about it is it comes in a wide variety of flavors. It doesn't matter what flavor you like. If you go to BuiltBar.com, you're likely going to find it. If you go to BuiltBar.com also right now and put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Bar. That's 20% off your next order of Built Bar using the promo code Locked On. But I can tell you this, if you go to Built Bar and you get your first order of it, or if it's your first order in a while, I feel strongly it's going to be a part of your routine going forward. That's how awesome Built Bars are. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. Today, I'm excited to say that we've got two podcasts out for you, a Saturday special. It's been a busy week on my end, so I wanted to make sure to get two podcasts out today, breaking down some exciting prospects, looking at, you know, some different traits from the current Grizzlies roster in one podcast that really could indicate, give some hints as to who the Grizzlies might be able to target in this draft, and then also talking with you a bit about Sam Merrill as well as the start to the season, you know, in this podcast. And so as we, you know, talked about in the first segment, you know, really looking at the start of the season, you know, a lot's going to happen over the next few weeks, and so really excited, you know, to see what develops. And of course, as I've mentioned, you know, several times this week, want to make sure you know this is the reason why the Locked On Grizzlies podcast stands out. We're here to give you daily perspective on what occurs. So really excited, you know, day by day now, nearly on a daily basis, we should continue to get good news about the start of the Grizzlies season and the NBA season as a whole. So getting to this Grizzlies prospect profile is Sam Merrill, and I am excited about this one. I know that I consistently mention that I'm excited for whatever reason on several of these, but this one really stands out because where you see Merrill ranked in the prospect rankings, you know, typically late 40s, early 50s at the highest, maybe a little bit lower in some places, you know, you get it. There are reasons why Sam Merrill is not near the top of this draft. There's reasons why he's not really a first-round prospect, so on and so forth, but there also are extremely positive reasons why he clearly is someone that several teams will likely want to target getting into that second half of the second round. If he's still there, you could see plenty of contenders. You've heard many general managers talk about it across the NBA. Hopefully, Zach Kleiman, obviously, you know, in my opinion, likely is looking at this as well. But several of these general managers want to get back into the second round because there's plenty of developmental pieces, you know, that really stand out. And one of those is Sam Merrill. Why is that? Well, the reason why Sam Merrill stands out is because, you know, we talk about shooting potential and we talk about, you know, the ability for players to really stand out in terms of their shooting based off their potential in the NBA. But you can't write off college production. I know that there are several players over the years who have just been absolutely lights out, especially from distance, but they just, for some whatever reason, the athleticism, the discipline, whatever it may be, they just didn't make it in the NBA. Well, Sam Merrill is someone that, yes, you could see it. Yes, there is that risk. That's the reason why he is likely going to be a second half of the second round type pick. But we're not just talking about another, you know, elite sniper in college basketball. We're truly talking about one of the best three-point shooting prospects in the NCAA over the past 30 years. It's legitimate. That's how good Sam Merrill was shooting from three. And it's incredible when you really think about it, because when it comes to his shooting, you know, he played for the Utah State Aggies. It's not like they had a lot of other players that really stood out on his team, but that's how good Merrill was. He was the 2018-2019 Mountain West Conference Player of the Year. He was a two-time All-Mountain West Conference tourney. A team player, was a two-time All-Mountain West Conference player in general. So just someone that really, really, you know, added value beyond just his shooting. But let's focus on his shooting. And, you know, I'll give plenty of statistics when I talk about these prospects. For time's sake, though, when it comes to Merrill, there's really a couple of statistics that stand out. When it came to his production, you know, he was someone that certainly was a truly a sharp shooter, but also a productive shooter. You know, over his college career, over 132 games, 118 of which he started, he averaged 16.6 points. He averaged 3.6 rebounds, 3.6 assists, one steal. Didn't really... make any impact through blocks. Only 1.6 turnovers. And overall, he shot 47% from the field. And a big, big thing is he shot 42% from three and 52% from on two-pointers. And that's the thing that stands out about Merrill, as I've stated, is his sharp shooting ability. Just look at his numbers from three. Over his career, he averaged in 133 games, he averaged nearly six shots per game, 5.8 three-pointers per game, and made nearly 2.5. That type of volume is incredible when you look over the college career of 130 games, and he made 42% of his threes. But the other thing that stands out about his shooting, beyond his shooting actually, is his assist-to-turnover ratio. Now, he's not someone who was highly productive when it came to assists. He averaged 3.6 per game. But the big thing is that he had nearly a 2.5-to-1 turnover-to-assist ratio. That is actually impressive in college. A lot of times with guards, when in college, when you get over that 2-to-1 assist ratio, that's saying something. That shows good decision-making. So not only is Merrill someone that obviously can shoot the three, but he's also someone that you can trust not to make, you know, a ton of mistakes. He's not going to beat himself outside of when it comes to his passing, and he also adds value outside of his shooting. Why is that so important, though? Well, we've talked about these shooters who are resourceful. We've talked about Grant Riller. We've talked about Isaiah Joe, Jamias Ramsey. Some of these players who in different ways can get open, pull up, off the ball, movement, spot up, whatever it may be, they have different ways in which they can score. Now, Merrill is not going to have the same type of capability to create his own shot. He just doesn't have the athleticism that several other of these prospects do. So his ability to shoot mid-range, his ability to get to the basket, all those different things, he'll be able to do that when the opportunity is there. His decision-making is elite enough to where he'll be able to figure out, hey, if a drive's there, I can take it. But it's not something he's going to consistently do. He's not someone that's going to beat his man consistently to the basket. But where he makes up for the inability to do those things that other players may be able to do is the intelligence that comes with his shots. What I mean by that is this, is that in our other show today, I'm going to talk about a big thing that the Grizzlies look for is shot efficiency. And two stats that really stand out are true shooting percentage and effective shooting percentage. Well, over the past 30 years, Merrill is one of only 20 other players who have made 300 or more threes, shot 42% or better from three, had a true shooting percentage above 62%, and an effective field goal percentage above 57%. Why is that so important? Because it really points out that when Merrill takes a three, there is a higher percentage that it's a success, that it's going to turn out successfully, or that it was the best option in that offensive possession than you can say about other players. The fact that his decision making that you can see from his passing and his lack of turnovers, you know that if Merrill sees that there is a better chance at scoring through making a pass, through taking a shot, his numbers suggest you can trust his decision-making when it comes to that. It also shows through his true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage, he's not someone that's just going to jack up a shot, you know, leading up to a play or coming down. He's going to let an offensive possession work its way through, and he is going to take a shot when he truly feels it's the best option for his team. Now you add to that the accuracy that he displays, shooting 42%, you know, on over or nearly 500 three-point shots in college, over 750 three-point shots in college, the volume is certainly there to suggest that not only is he a trustworthy three-point shooter, but he also is someone that's a good decision maker. So he's not going to beat himself on offense and is going to add value beyond scoring. So Merrill really stands out in terms of his three-point shooting. It's the decision making involved with his three-point shooting, along with his passing, that really makes him an intriguing prospect and a developmental prospect to look at. Now, obviously, he's not without his flaws. The big thing is that he's going to be nearly 24 and a half years old when the season starts. That is extremely old for a prospect, and that's a detriment. He's probably close to the player that he's going to be versus someone like Jamias Ramsey that's 5 years younger and still has plenty of room to grow. The other thing about it is that he's likely not going to be someone who's going to add a lot of self-sufficiency when it comes to adding value. What I mean by that is he's not someone that's likely going to be a consistent guy to get to the basket. He's not really going to be a pull-up threat on offense. He can find his success there, but it's going to be hard to. On defense, he probably can work within a team scheme, and his intelligence and instincts will allow for him to be able to make the most of what he can offer. But in terms of him being a liability, he probably is never going to stand out as an elite defender, but he likely is not someone who's just going to absolutely take away from his offensive value. And that's another key thing about Merrill. The offensive value that he has through his shooting, decision-making, and passing, it's not going to be negated due to a lack of defense. He's a very heady and aware player who's going to give the effort needed to stay on the court. So that is also something that you can really trust about his game. So that's the thing about Merrill. In terms of his natural abilities, it makes sense to where he is ranked. But in terms of his instincts, in terms of his shooting, in terms of his decision-making, in terms of his passing, and in terms of the intelligence and effort that he'll provide, there also is a good chance that Merrill likely may have one of the more solid floors to trust in the player in this draft. There's a good chance he could wind up being just a G League career player and really not turn into, you know, that much of, you know, a potential, you know, significant player in the NBA. But coming up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to point out the thing about Merrill that does stand out is that there have been some players in recent years with his type of pedigree coming into the NBA that he really is similar to. Coming up, we'll talk about some of those players that he really stands out in terms of comparisons to and how that could be really encouraging for a team like the Grizzlies if they were to invest in him. So the darling of the NBA this year, it seemed at times, was Miami sharpshooter Duncan Robinson. And the reason why is because he truly had an historically elite three-point shooting season. Now, the thing about it is that when it comes to Duncan Robinson, as I mentioned before and as you've heard others mention before, we've heard Heat culture and we've heard about their ability to develop, and it certainly is elite. But when it comes to players like Duncan Robinson, it can't be taken away from the hard work and effort that he's put in himself. For every Duncan Robinson, there literally are dozens, maybe hundreds of players who do have, you know, intriguing shooting ability who just didn't make it for whatever reason. So every team obviously is looking for that type of player, who adds just extremely significant shooting value out of nowhere, and obviously does it to where that you're not having to pay for it as well. That's a focus now in every draft, it seems, for teams when it comes to adding to their rosters. I'm not saying that Sam Merrill is going to be Duncan Robinson, but what I am saying is that many of the similar qualities that you hope to find in a type of prospect who could become in some way, shape, or form, maybe not Duncan Robinson, but a significant shooting threat and someone that you can put on the court that can add enough value through their shooting only to where you can give them 15 to 20 minutes a game. Merrill legitimately has that type of ceiling through his shooting. And that's why I think he makes sense for the Grizzlies. Now, as we've discussed, he may not have as much of an upside as other players, like I mentioned, like an Isaiah Joe or Jamias Ramsey. And the Grizzlies do have plenty of depth when it comes to their guard position. But the one thing that this Grizzlies team does not have, especially with the investment that they made in their current roster, and as I've discussed, their lack of overall natural shooting ability right now that's on the team, when you see this type of player who both can play on the wing and as a combo guard and whatever setup you have, with this type of shooting production in college and shooting potential in general, this is the type of player who I think you really do want to focus on as being that end of the bench type option for now. Probably someone that you put at South Haven. Maybe if he's there, you really focus him on a two-way contract through undrafted free agency. This is the type of guy that you invest in. I think in terms of players, not at number 40. If the Grizzlies were to pick Sam Merrill at number 40, it's not like it would necessarily be a disappointing pick. I do think that they should focus on someone with a bit higher upside and a bit better chance to stick around and add value in multiple ways as a rotation piece. But if you're looking at the type of players that the Grizzlies could focus on getting back late into the second round through buying a second round pick, or if this player were to be an undrafted free agent, I think Sam Merrill will be at or near the top of their list as someone that you can add. And as I mentioned, the big reason why is because of the strengths of his game. There probably are few players when it comes to the Grizzlies where the strengths of Merrill's game matches perfectly with the needs for this Grizzlies team. They need secondary playmakers, they need intelligent decision makers, and they also need players who can be snipers slash sharpshooters, whatever word you want to use. They need that type of skill set to add to this roster. And if they could find it in a form that they can control for years at cheap costs, and they could develop in their own way, Sam Merrill really stands out. And the Grizzlies have shown that that's their type of focus. I really think that one niche that the Grizzlies could really own as a franchise and find tremendous value out of is focusing on those older prospects. When we talk about the draft, we always talk about upside. Go with young, go with potential, you know, go with the younger player if you're trying to decide between them and an older player. And that's fine. That makes perfect sense, especially as you draft, you know, if you're a team that's drafting earlier in the draft and you need to go for upside. But with the Grizzlies, they've got a very intriguing core in place. They need to add value, and they need to add value that they can control as well. So I think that as you saw with John Contra, I think that as you've seen with Brandon Clark, even going back what you saw with Dylan Brooks, these older players who, yes, they may be closer to their ceiling, but they still offer intriguing value. If other teams are turned away by that, the Grizzlies should pounce. And that's something about Sam Merrill that really stands out. Again, I'm not saying he's the next Duncan Robinson. I'm not saying that he really sticks out as someone that's going to have a decade-long NBA career where he averages 20 minutes a game. But at the very, very low cost that it would take to add him to the roster and develop him, but with the production that you've already seen and the potential that he has to truly stand out because of his shooting and add significant value through shooting and being a secondary playmaker and being someone that you can trust to add value, you know, even when the ball is not in his hands on offense and defense, I think that that's something that you focus on when it comes to Sam Merrill. So at the end of the day, with Sam Merrill, I think that when it comes to the number 40 pick, you probably go elsewhere. There's higher upside options that I would prefer than Sam Merrill at 40. But when it comes to focusing on those buying a later second-round pick or potentially a two-way option when it comes to undrafted free agency, if Merrill's there, I would be highly, highly encouraged for the Grizzlies to really focus on going after him, and I think it makes a ton of sense for them to do that in time. And another thing, I don't know if anybody's ever said it. I'm sure that they have, but if the Grizzlies were to draft Merrill, I'm going to lead the bandwagon to start the slogan, "When in peril, trust Sam Merrill." I'm going to stop with my marketing ploys and my attempts. All joking aside, Sam Merrill, there's a reason obviously why he is projected to go where he's projected to go, but I do think that in terms of his shooting, he is one of the best bets in this draft to emerge and have a relevant NBA career because he adds significant value through his shooting. And for the Grizzlies to be able to add that type of skill set to their roster, I think it's worth investing in another second round pick to bring him in, you know, if it makes sense. We can't thank you enough for joining us again. Two new episodes out today. Really, really looking forward, you know, to having these out there for y'all, for you to add to your weekend and enjoy it. We'll be right back Monday getting into another Grizzlies prospect profile. We're also going to throw in a bit of free agency towards the end of the week, and I'll also have a special guest or two next week who really, really ramping up again for the draft and also to discuss some potential free agents that could make sense for the Grizzlies. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, wherever podcast may be available. Look forward to having you join us for all those episodes, and please listen to the previous prospect profiles. We really want you to enjoy those and also have some knowledge on what to look for when it comes to draft night. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.